Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
So we're talking about the Jesus Revolution. You know, in the day we called it the Jesus Movement, but either phrase is great because you know what? It was about Jesus. It wasn't called the God Revolution, though God did it. It wasn't called the Bible Revolution, though we read the Bible a lot and still do. It was called the Jesus Revolution because it was about Jesus. And sometimes in the church, we forget what our message is. Our message is Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with God. We want to introduce people to him. It was actually Time Magazine that came up with the phrase Jesus Revolution. It's on the cover of the one I'm holding here right now. And what is a revolution? Generally, we think of a revolution in a negative sense, an upheaval, and it can be that. But this was a positive revolution. A word revolution also means a turning around or a rotating or a returning to something. It's a returning to something. And what is it a return to? It's a return to New Testament Christianity. It's a return to being like the church of the first century that turned their world upside down. That's why we call it a revival. To revive is to restore to original condition. Once someone asked the great evangelist, Billy Sunday, about revival. And he said, they tell me a revival is only temporary. Temporary, he said, so is a bath, but it will do you some good. And some of you need to take that literally, and I won't say who. No, I'm joking. Well, maybe I'm not joking. I don't know, but not on the stage, of course. But, you know, we need a revival. We need a bath, if you will, a cleansing, a returning to something that God did many years ago. I did write a book about it, shameless book promotion, Jesus Revolution. And this is actually not in my voice. I had a lady help me. Her name is Ellen Vaughn, who's a very gifted storyteller. And I said, Ellen, we need to tell the story. And why tell the story? Because the fame of revival spreads the flame of revival. So we thought if we could tell what God did, we could describe it and sort of take people there, then maybe the Lord will do it again. I wrote it as though I were sitting at a table over a cup of coffee with a young person saying, here's what God did in my generation. And my prayer is that God will do it in your generation as well. But the first century church, you know, they rocked the world. It was G. Campbell Morgan who said, quote, organized Christianity that fails to make a disturbance is dead. And that's true. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, there was either a riot or a revival. And sometimes I wonder if it's time to rescue Jesus from modern day Christianity. One person put it this way, and I love it. Revival is when God gets so sick and tired of being misrepresented, he shows up himself. And we're saying, Lord, do that again. And there were some earmarks of the Jesus movement, things that I remember. One of them was there was a sense of expectancy in the services. By the way, no one was ever late for church because if you were, well, you wouldn't get a seat. There was a sense that God is going to do something here in this service. So we came with open hearts and with open Bibles. And I think it's very important the way we go to church, that we come saying, I want God to speak to me today. I'm open to that. And it was a move of the Holy Spirit. The Jesus movement was, it was the Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God in the hearts of the people of God. It was a work that he did then, and it's a work he still wants to do today. Look, America needs an awakening, but the church needs revival. An awakening is something God sovereignly does. We've had four great spiritual awakenings in America. But a revival can happen locally, can happen in a single church. A revival can happen personally. It can start with you as an individual. So we're praying God will do that in our own lives. So we came with a sense of expectancy. There was passionate and heartfelt worship. You know, people would engage in the worship together, and effectively contemporary Christian worship was born before our eyes. Another thing is, man, we love the Bible. In fact, I have my Bible here from those days. It's all beat up. It has a suede cover on it. Oh, here's the guy with the camera. Let's get a tight shot of it here. You can see that A page is missing. And that's not because I ripped it out. It just came out because the Bible was used. I wrote all over it. I have notes in the margins. You know, it said that a Bible that's falling apart is usually an indication of a life that isn't. And I love beat up Bibles. I love marked up Bibles. By the way, it's not how you mark your Bible. It's how your Bible marks you. However, it's a good thing to mark your Bible and underline verses together. So we love the Word of God and we studied the Word of God together. And you know, another thing is we would see people come to Christ in every service. We would give invitations and people would respond. And that's why we still do that here today. Because our church, Harvest Christian Fellowship, was born in a revival. This church has revival roots. And we're very thankful that God allowed us to come into being in that way. And there was one other thing we talked a lot about back in those days, and it was the return of Jesus Christ. It was in a lot of messages, and you're saying, well, Greg, wasn't your timing a little bit off? What was that, 45 years ago? Yeah, maybe we were a little early, but guess what? It impacted us in the way that we lived. And consider this, we've never been closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we are right here, right now. He is coming back again. I still believe it. And we're going to do a song together to sort of set the stage. And then we're going to see what the Bible says about what I believe is the next event on the prophetic calendar. It's called the rapture.
All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint, let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming. Like a bride. Across Riverside, Orange County, we sing. We wait at Woodcrest, in Corona, and Eastvale. We sing together. God, we wait. Lord, we wait. You're coming soon, Lord. And we wait. We wait for you. so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Amen. Lord, we pray that you will prepare our hearts for your return. I pray that every person here, every person watching and listening, wherever they may be, will be ready for the return of Jesus Christ before this service is over with, because you could come back at any moment. So speak to us from your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The rapture. You've heard that before. Some people would say, well, you can't find the word rapture in the Bible. Well, that's true, in a way. But you can also not find the word Bible in the Bible, nor can you find the word Trinity in the Bible. And those are all things that we know are true. So let's understand what the rapture is. There's a Greek word harpazo that's used many times in Scripture. This word harpazo describes a catching up of people into the presence of the Lord. If you have a Latin translation, it's translated rapturus, where we get our English word rapture from. So I don't care if you call it the rapture or if you call it the harpazo. Hey, call it the great escape if you want to. Whatever you call it, it's a real biblical event. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That word receive is harpazo. I'll catch you up into heaven. So it is a real event that is coming. And in my understanding of Bible prophecy, it can happen at any moment. Looking at the big picture, I think the next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture. On the heels of that will be the emergence of a world leader who will be charismatic, who'll be a great peacemaker, he'll come about with economic solutions. But in reality, the Bible says he will be the Antichrist. And the prefix anti doesn't just mean against, it also means instead of. He'll come as a false Messiah. Some people will think he is the Messiah. He'll rebuild the third temple in Jerusalem. And then ultimately, he will perform what is called the abomination of desolation, where he erects an image of himself and commands people to worship him. And that marks effectively the halfway point of the seven-year tribulation period. The tribulation period ends with the battles of Armageddon, and then Christ comes back in the second coming, and then there's the millennial reign of Jesus. It lasts for 1,000 years. And then finally, heaven comes to earth, the new Jerusalem, like a bride adorned for her husband. And we just sang that, like a bride waiting to meet our groom. And some guys are saying, I don't want to be a bride. You're a bride. Deal with it. In the church, we're the bride of Christ. That's what the Bible calls us. And so this moment, this event, this rapture can happen at any time. And that brings us to our text, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remaining will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This phrase caught up is from the Greek word harpazo. That phrase or that word is used 13 times in the New Testament. It means to take forcibly, to snatch, or to catch up. So here's a few questions. Why is there a rapture? Well, Paul gave this teaching in response to the believers in Thessalonica who had loved ones die. And they wondered, will we ever see our loved ones again? So Paul is telling them, you're going to be reunited with your loved ones. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have died so that you will not grieve as those who have no hope. A very important thing Paul's saying. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers. So he talks about Bible prophecy. And I bring this up because sometimes people will say, no one can understand these things. And so it's just a waste of time to even try. No, why would Paul have said, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, if God did not want us to know about the events that are coming? And coming back to that event I mentioned, the abomination of desolation, Jesus referred to it in Matthew 24. He says, and when you see the abomination of desolation, then he adds, let the reader understand. See, we need to understand what these things mean. In the book of Daniel, in the 12th chapter, it is said that the things of Bible prophecy, the understanding of Bible prophecy, will increase in the last days. One of the signs of the end times is we'll have a better understanding of what all of these things mean. We often talk about the book of Revelation. What does Revelation mean? It means the unveiling. It is God's desire to reveal, not to conceal. And then Paul goes on to say, so comfort one another with these words. Why? Well, because when a loved one dies, we miss them. Many of you have loved ones in heaven right now. Well, Kathy and I do. Of course, our son is there. And our mothers are there. And my father is there. And so, you know, that kind of connects you to heaven. You think about it. And you wonder about having conversations with them and what it will be like to be reunited. So this is what Paul is saying. And this is why this should comfort us. He says, we'll be caught up together to meet them in the air. Who? Loved ones who have preceded us. I was talking with a dear saint the other day, yesterday actually. She's 95 years old. And she wanted to know when she dies, you know, what happens to her body and what happens to her spirit. I said, well, what happens when you die is your spirit goes into the presence of God and your body goes into the ground. But at the rapture, your body's going to be resurrected. So your body will be resurrected in a perfected state. So that's when that all is going to happen. So this is this great hope. Now look, the rapture can happen in our lifetime, but we need to always be ready to meet the Lord. So you either get to heaven through rapture or you get to heaven through death, cab or Uber. I don't care. I'm just going to go to heaven. So the idea is to be ready. And this brings comfort to you because you know you'll see your loved ones again. Imagine what it would be like to suddenly be reunited with a loved one you'd been cut off from for so long and to be in their presence again. Husbands reunited with wives. Wives reunited with husbands. Parents reunited with children. Children with parents. Brothers with sisters. Sisters with brothers. Friends with friends. That event is going to happen, and it's a glorious event. And I want you to just think about how fantastic it's going to be. So Joe's going to do a song right now about that day. This was written by Love Song, When That Morning Finally Comes. This is about that day of reunion.
That morning finally comes, everyone will be there, and all the great and all the small, everyone will be there, all the girls and all the great and all the small. Everyone will be there.
That's right. Aren't you looking forward to that day? That's what's going to happen to believers. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's awesome. Reunited with loved ones that have preceded us. Not so good for people that don't believe. Jesus said, two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be sleeping in a bed, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour the Lord is coming. And so this is kind of a scary thing, but there will be people that will be left to face the tribulation period because they've not put their faith in Jesus Christ when the rapture occurs. One of the popular songs back in the days of the Jesus movement was written by Larry Norman. Larry Norman was a very prolific singer-songwriter, in many ways the father of contemporary Christian music, certainly a pioneer of it. And so his signature song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready, really sums it up perfectly. So we asked Brenly to sing this song for you now.
Life is filled with guns and war. Everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Let's all try this. Yeah. How can you be ready for the rapture? It can be simplified in this statement. Get right or get left. By get right, I don't mean right politically. I mean right spiritually. Get right with God or you'll be left. It's really your choice. When is the rapture? Oh, this is one that people have asked for many years. When is it? Well, here's what Jesus says. No one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels nor the Son, only the Father. If you were to go back to the original language and translate that, it would come out to say, no one knows the day or the hour. And actually what it means is, no one knows the day or the hour. And why do I say that? Because every now and then someone comes along and they say, I've cracked the code. I know when the rapture is. No, they don't. No one knows the day or the hour. It could happen today. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in a month, in a year, in a decade. We don't know when it will happen, but we want to watch and be ready. But I'll tell you this, when it happens, it will happen so quickly you can't even measure it in time. We're told over in 1 Corinthians 15, I tell you a mystery, we'll not all sleep, but we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The twinkling of an eye, not even the blinking of an eye. How long is the twinkle of an eye? Well, I don't know. It's from the Greek word atomos. We get our English word atom from it. Something that's very small. I guess the twinkling would take as long as maybe it would take to say the word atomos. It's just that fast. So some will say, well, I'll accept Christ when the rapture happens. Really? You better be fast. You see people getting raptured. Lord Jesus. Oh, that's way too long. Lord, no, too long. No, it's too late. And you'll be left behind, and you don't want that to happen. Sometimes people are confused about the rapture and the second coming. They're two separate events. One happens, the rapture, before the tribulation. The other, the second coming, happens at the end of the tribulation period. The rapture is effectively a stealth event. Jesus describes his coming as a thief in the night. The second coming is a very public event. Jesus said, as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. In the rapture, he comes in the air. In the second coming, he returns to the earth. In the rapture, he comes for his church. In the second coming, he returns with his church. In the rapture, he delivers us before judgment. In the second coming, he returns with judgment. So why is it important to believe this? Well, if I believe it, and I really should if I believe the Bible, it'll have an effect on me spiritually. In 1 John 3, it says, he that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. So if I really believe this, it's going to impact me in decisions I make, things that I do, everything really. Someone once asked the great evangelist D.L. Moody, if you knew the Lord would return tonight, how would you spend the rest of the day? Melanie Zappa, if you knew that Jesus, you woke up just then, were you asleep? A little bit, a little, you were. I saw your kiss kind of like, hey, okay. Melanie, if you knew Jesus was coming back tonight, how would you live the rest of the day?
I think I'd check. I think I'd go to all of my relatives that don't know Jesus, and I would tell them, hey, it's coming now. You have no more time. There's nothing left to lose, so why not just give it all to Jesus? I think I'd straight up tell them.
That's right. That's very good. Good answer, Melanie. So someone asked D.L. Moody, the evangelist, if you knew he was returning tonight, how would you spend the rest of the day? Without hesitation, he said, I wouldn't do anything different than I do every day. See, this is the whole point. If I really believe this, how many of you believe Jesus could come back? Okay, if you believe this, if I believe this, if we believe this, we should be living like Melanie just said. Have you told anyone about Jesus? Do you know relatives, friends, others that need to hear this good news? Live every day as though it were the last day, because one day it will be. Martin Luther once said, there are 2 days in my life. There's this day and there's that day. And that day he was referring to was the return of the Lord. So we want to be ready. Now, why has Jesus not already come back? Well, let me take a quick poll. How many of you have become a Christian since 1970? You've accepted Christ since 1970. Raise your hand. Okay, that's a lot of you. I would even say a majority of you. We were praying back in 1970 that Jesus would come back. Aren't you glad he didn't answer our prayer? It says in 1 Peter, the Lord is not late as some men count lateness. He's long-suffering toward us. Listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is waiting for the final people to believe. It's even possible that somewhere on this earth, possibly even in this service or watching somewhere, is that final person the Lord is waiting for to get saved. And then the rapture is going to happen. Can you imagine if you knew who that person was? Would you be tempted to apply pressure? Like, dude, could you get saved like now so we can get out of here? But the Lord is waiting. Why? Because he loves us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. But here's our prayer. When that day happens, only the Lord knows. But we want him to send at least one more spiritual awakening to America. We need a fifth awakening. I would be so bold as to say we even need a sixth and a seventh should the Lord tarry. But listen, revival, that can happen for you right here, right now. We can talk about how the church needs revival, but you can just also say or ask yourself the question, do you need revival? Do I need revival? What is revival? It's being restored to original condition. You know, if you want to see a revival, you should do revival-like things. And that's what we're sort of doing here today. We're remembering things, things that happened before, and we're saying, do it again. And in the same way, if you want to see revival in your life, do revival-like things. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus talks to the church. And he says, you know what? I know you guys are discerning, and you work hard, and you test those who say they are apostles and are not. But I have this against you. You've left your first love. So remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and do the first works quickly. Very interesting. He says, you know, you're doing a great job, but there's a problem. You've left your first love. So first you should remember. And I'm going to ask you to remember right now. Think back in your life. Some of you have been a Christian for a while. Some of you not as long. But was there a time in your life where you were stronger spiritually than you are now? Was there a time in your life as a follower of Jesus where your passion was greater and the fire burned hotter than it is burning right now? Okay, remember that. It's a point of reference. Now, repent. He says, remember from where you've fallen and repent. And it's interesting, he uses the phrase where you've fallen. See, we think of falling away from the Lord as something dramatic. Oh, they abandoned their faith and they're doing all these horrible things now. And yeah, that's a form of it. But Jesus said, if you've left your first love, you've fallen. It's sort of like a slow motion fall. It's not as dramatic, but it's still falling. Remember from where you have fallen. Then he says, and do the first works quickly. So the three R's of revival, the three R's of getting right with God are remember, repent, and repeat. Go back and do those things again. Heard about a lady that wanted to divorce her husband. But she didn't want to just divorce him. She wanted him to suffer. So she went to an attorney and said, what can I do when I divorce my husband to bring the most pain possible? The lawyer said, evil laugh. He said, I have the solution. He says, for the next 6 months, I want you to smother your husband with affection. Tell him how wonderful he is, how responsible he is, how much you respect him, how much you care for him. And then at 6 months, hit him with the divorce papers. He won't know what hit him, and it'll make his life miserable. She said, I'll do it. And for the next 6 months, she told her husband how much she loved him, how great he was, how much she respected him, how much she adored him. And the lawyer calls at 6 months and says, okay, let's get this divorce going. She says, divorce? We're going on our second honeymoon. So the point is, she was doing what she should have been doing all along. And in the same way, if we want revival, just do revival-like things. If you want to restore a marriage that's failing, go bring the romance back in your marriage. Do the things you did in the beginning. The same is true of your relationship with God. And I wonder if some of us need revival in our life. Look, it can happen. We just say, Lord, I need to be restored to that original condition. I need to get back to that walk I once had with you. You know, there's some of you here that might have been around in the days of the Jesus movement. That's great. What a wonderful thing that was. But this is now. How's your relationship with God now? Are you walking with the Lord today? And are you ready for his return now? Well, if not, this is a great opportunity to get right with God. You know, we sang, you've been left behind. If you want to be sure that you're ready to meet the Lord, if you want to be confident that you'll be ready to be caught up to meet him in the air, you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. He died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. He shed his blood for you. He paid the price for every sin you've ever committed. And if you'll put your faith in him and ask him to forgive you, you can be confident your sin is forgiven, and you can know for certain that you'll go to heaven when you die, and you can also know for certain you'll be ready for the rapture. You'll be rapture ready. And if you are not sure if you are now, here's an opportunity for you to make that commitment or recommitment to Christ. Let's all pray together. Father, I pray now for every person that is here on every Harvest campus, every person that is watching. If they don't know you, Jesus, if they're not right with you, help them to get right with you now, we ask. Now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying together, maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you need Jesus in your life. You want him to forgive you. Listen, if you want Jesus to come into your life today, if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want your sin forgiven, I want you to raise your hand up right now, and I'm going to pray for you wherever you are. God bless you. Lift your hand up. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand up wherever you are. God bless you. You guys that are watching on one of our campuses, watching this screen, raise your hand up. No, I can't see you, but the Lord sees you. Just raise your hand up wherever you are, and you can make the same commitment to Christ. God bless all of you. Anybody else, you want to make sure your life is right with God and you're ready for the Lord's return, raise your hand up and I'll pray for you today. God bless you. While our heads are still bowed, maybe there's some of you that have fallen away from the Lord. You were walking closely with him at one time, but you've let other things crowd him out. You need to return to your first love. If that's you, if you need to come back to Jesus today, would you raise your hand up right now and let me pray for you? God bless you. God bless everyone. All right. Now I'm going to ask every one of you that have raised your hand, I want you to stand to your feet and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Every one of you that raised your hand, stand up and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Even if you did not raise your hand, but you want to make this commitment, a recommitment to Jesus Christ, I want you to stand up wherever you are, wherever you're hearing my voice, stand up. And we're going to pray. This is a commitment you're making to Christ. It doesn't matter if I see you or not. Anybody else, even if you didn't raise your hand, you want to make this commitment or recommitment to Jesus, stand up and we'll pray. I'll wait one more moment. I think there's a few more of you that want to do this. Anybody else, stand now. Let me lead you in this prayer. God bless you. Anybody else? I'll wait one more moment. Stand up. We'll pray together. All right, you that are standing, pray this prayer out loud after me. Again, as I pray, pray this out loud after me. Pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I know you're the Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I choose to follow you, Jesus, from this moment forward, as my Savior and Lord, as my God and my friend. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless each one of you that prayed that prayer. Hey, listen, all of you that just stood and prayed that prayer with me, I want you to get up out of your seat and walk over to a room over here in the corner, and we're gonna give you a Bible that looks like the one I'm holding. Whoops, there goes my Bible on the ground. Okay, I'm gonna give you a Bible that looks like the one I'm holding here. It's called the New Believer's Bible. This is designed for someone like yourself that just prayed that prayer. So get up out of your seat and walk over to the room. See in the corner, see where I'm pointing? Go back that direction. If you're up in the balcony, come on down the stairs. And wherever you are, don't leave the campus today without your own copy of the New Believer's Bible. This is a very important commitment you've just made. In a moment, Pastor Jared's going to come and close the service with a couple of announcements. But I want to lead you in a prayer for personal revival before he does. So let's all stand up. And this is a prayer I'm going to lead you in. I'm an evangelist. I like to lead people in prayers. I can't help myself. So you don't have to pray this prayer if you don't want to. In fact, I would say if you don't mean this prayer, don't pray it. Let me tell you what the prayer will be. It's a prayer where you're going to ask Jesus to revive you spiritually. So if that's something you want, you pray this after me. If that's something you feel you already have and you don't need any more of, or actually it's something you don't want, then by all means, don't pray this prayer. But if you want to experience, personal revival, I've had a cold now for almost 2 months. I'm not kidding. It's crazy. Appreciate your prayers in that. But if this is something you want the Lord to do for you, who knows what my voice will be by the end of it. This is so stupid. Okay. We're going to get through this, folks. If this is what you want the Lord to do, then pray this prayer after me. Let's all pray. Pray these words. Lord Jesus, I need a personal revival. I want to be on fire for you. I want to return to my first love and be ready for your return. I want this hope to purify me, even as you are pure. So revive me, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. God bless you guys.